Welcome to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Rob. I'm with my friends, Lou.
Hello, hello.
And this week we have a returning guest. He is the Pokemon Master of the Top Toppers. He is the Top Topper. Also, he ain't afraid to scrap at Bible Camp. That is Pokemon Trainer Cantwell joining us for another one. You know, we got to bring it up. It's your lasting legacy on this pod, besides being the first Top Topper.
I'll take that. And I've actually completed the National Dex now, so I can really claim that Pokemon Trainer title.
How's your Living Dex going?
Oh, Living Dex, not there. I did have to borrow some Pokemon to get the National Dex. Thank you, Rob, for that. And thank you, Logan Joyger. But I didn't want to. I'm too cheap. I don't want to buy the full version of Pokemon Home. So I won't have a Living Dex, but I'll have the National Dex.
There we go. What about the Living Dex in Scarlet and Violet, whatever game you're playing?
I have that. I don't have all the forms of Alchemy, though, and I think I'm just going to quit on that one. So
I don't even know what that is, so you're way past my knowledge. So each week we start off the episode with an icebreaker. This week I got, do you prefer the hard or soft version of these things? So I'm going to give you something. You have to tell me if you prefer it. If you're a hard guy or a soft guy when it comes to these. First up, we got mattresses. Do you prefer your mattress hard or firm or soft?
Oh, I'm kind of a Goldilocks kind of guy, but I lean more soft.
Yeah, me too.
I need a soft pillow top and then just firm. I'm into that firm mattress.
Okay.
Nice.
Next up, we got eggs. Hard boiled or not hard boiled? Basically.
I like a soft boiled. I like a ramen egg. Ooh. 7 minute, I think. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
I don't know what a 7 minute egg is. You just cook it on low for 7 minutes?
No, you boil it for 7 minutes, and it's like the yolk is still runny.
Mm. Okay.
But the white is firm.
So another Goldilocks. How about you, Cantwell?
I would say scrambled eggs, so soft.
Mm-hmm. I agree, soft eggs. Next up, this one can be a bloodbath. Do you prefer hard cheese or soft cheese? Hard cheeses are cheddar, parm, gouda. Examples of soft cheese are brie, ricotta, and blue. I'm a hard cheese fan myself.
I'm a hard cheese.
Yeah, that cheddar is just so good.
Yep.
Go hard all the way.
Hard all the way. We're a hard bunch of hard cheese men.
We're hard this episode. What? But this is something I think we're all going to be soft about. Ice cream.
Hard ice cream. What?
Do you like hard, honestly, soft serve or like hard or scooped ice cream?
So I think I think it comes to mix-ins, and I rather have hard ice cream with mix-ins than soft ice cream.
So like, you don't think a Blizzard beats hard ice cream with mix-ins?
No, I don't like soft ice cream with mix-ins, to be honest with you. I don't like it.
Or you can't, you're at Brahms. You getting soft serve, or are you going with their German chocolate?
Soft serve in the pink cup. Ooh. I don't even know what size the pink cup is, but I get the pink cup.
We got three more. Go through taco shells, hard shell or soft shell?
Soft.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I'm going to go soft.
All right, we're all soft about taco shells.
I don't want to eat a pop.
Pretzels.
Ooh.
Low-key, the older I get, the harder I get when it comes to pretzels. I will say I do enjoy a hard pretzel a little bit more now.
I have to agree with you.
I'm going to go soft. Annie Ann's. The little pretzel bites.
All right,
you walk by the food court in the mall and you just got to... Mm.
It's true. I like that smell is very nostalgic to me, but I never got one as a kid. So it's like always like, I think like sports games when you'd get like a soft pretzel. But do you like the cinnamon butter or the nacho cheese on your soft pretzel, Cantwell?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go sweet. Sweet all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You got a preference, Lou?
Damn. I'll go sweet too. Yeah. Well, no, because I feel like no. I'll go nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese. All right. Last one. I have a feeling you guys aren't gonna like either of these. But do you like hard candy like Jolly Ranchers or soft candy like Laffy Taffys?
Oh gosh, they both get stuck to your teeth.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh man.
For me, it has to be Laffy Taffys. You get those crappy jokes with them too.
That's true.
I can't do a Laffy Taffy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go taffy, Laffy Taffy, because I love that artificial banana flavor.
It's real, man.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah, I can't agree with you on the banana one. So you're going Jolly Rancher, Lou?
Yeah, I'm going Jolly All Rancher. Right. You ever had an old Laffy Taffy and try to open it up?
And like the wrapper so stuck difficult. To it?
Ew, yeah, dude. As a kid, I was just like, I would give up and just throw the whole thing in my mouth.
Oh, I mean, I feel like Jolly Rancher's the same. Like, you have or one that was in the sun or like warm a little bit. The same thing, super sticky.
Yeah, but they melt better than a Laffy Taffy. Laffy Taffy, once you get that plastic stuck on it, it becomes the plastic.
Game over, man. Game over.
Game over, man.
All right, so this week, Mike could not join us because I think he has the rot. He was spending too much time in the wild. That's going to be a recycled joke here in a few weeks. But if you get it, you're our type of people because you're part of our book club, which you can join in the Discord below. But this week, I want to know, what are three books you'd recommend? I know we talked about some of our favorite novels before, and I don't know if you still stick with that, Lou, what your five favorite novels you had. Mine, for the most part, is the same, but they're different. But I want to just know three other books that you guys like. And I tried to go with new authors and new series, but if you picked some of the same, I won't, you know, razz you too much for that. First off, though, it's considered nonfiction. I don't know. It's a book about Greek mythology, and that is Mythos, the Greeks Retold by Stephen Fry. It's a modern collection of Greek myths stylishly retold by legendary writer, actor, and comedian Stephen Fry. Fry transforms the adventures of Zeus and the Olympians into emotionally resonant and deeply funny stories without losing any of their original wonder. Came out in 2017, and it's about 15 and a half hours. Lou, have you listened to any of Stephen Fry's Greek books? I know you like Greek mythology.
No, I do love Greek mythology. I'm actually reading a book right now about Achilles and how he grew up. And I forgot the name. I'm struggling to figure out the name of it. It's a blue book. But I'm actually getting back into Greek mythology, so it's really cool. It's a really good book recommendation for me.
Mm-hmm. Cantwell, do you like Greek mythology? What's your mythology you like the most?
I like Greek mythology mainly from that Disney Plus series. What is it? Percy Jackson.
Oh, Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson.
There you go. That's about all I have under my belt. So,
mm-hmm.
And then Disney's movie Hercules. So I would like to learn more.
Mm-hmm. Funny story about
Hercules with The Rock.
Is The Rock in there? I know Danny DeVito's in there.
No, The Rock came out with his own.
Oh, did he?
Movie. Yeah, back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Joke.
So my wife actually wasn't allowed to watch Hercules, not because of the Greek mythology, but because it wasn't faithful to the original Greek mythologies.
Yeah. He didn't kill his wife?
No.
Dad turns it off.
Yeah, but I like it because they kind of put it in more of a first-person perspective, so it's not just, you know, you're reading a Wikipedia page, which I know there's like the Norse mythology book. It's kind of more of a Wikipedia, but this one, like, they try to add character into it, and like they... Like, Zeus is, you know, or Kratos is kind of, like, snapping back and, like, paints him as this edgy guy because he was so dark and evil and everything. And I just kind of, like, it adds more flavor and I think adds just more color to it. And would highly recommend it. It is 15 and a half hours on Audible. If you're Cantwell, it's going to be about 10. Because he's a speed demon. Lou, what do you got for us for your number three?
All right, for number three, I'm doing a pivot. And this just is because I just got a Bible study, but I'm going to go Romans.
16.
Oh, Bible. Sweet.
Yep.
Dang, yep, now I got to pivot. I can't be outshone.
I've been studying Romans for about 4 or 5 weeks, and it is just a weird book. Paul was something else. I want to read two different parts of Romans. I'm going to read the one that like I found to be the worst, and then the one that I cared about and I thought was written really well. So the crappy one was Romans. This is like a opposite of a sermon that I'm about to do right now. Romans 7:15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I want, I do. What I want, I hate, I do. If I do what I want to do, if I do not what... Oh my gosh, I'm struggling. If I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know what good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Mm. And I'll spare the rest to you guys.
Can you give it to me in the original Greek, please?
Yeah. In my head, I just like, it's a really roundabout, and I don't want to speak for Paul by any means, but it's, you know, the whole idea of like, I do things that I don't want to do and I don't know why I do them. It's like, brother, for real, I get that. But the way that you wrote it, homie, calm down.
Hey,
chill out.
He thought he was dropping bars back then.
It probably, probably. And then this is actually, I'll be real quick, but this is the Bible verse that I went over today that I kind of, I really enjoy. Therefore, I urge you, Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I think that's cool. I like that a lot. It really puts in perspective of just like a lot of things. And yeah, I'm not going to go Bible study on you guys, but yeah. So yeah, I've had some really good Bible verses on this book, and I've had some really knockers. Mm-hmm. That's not the right word I want to say, but I went with it.
Paul with his knockers, you know.
Yeah, Paul and his knockers.
That's a storm in the slot right there.
Go to our Redbubble for some stickers now. I like Romans. I feel like I need to go back and... It's been a while. I need to go back and restudy it and read it and everything.
Yeah.
I mainly remember 1 Corinthians. Just mm-hmm. how crazy that church was in Corinth.
Yeah.
Those that's probably, yeah, that and then Philippians. Philippians is my favorite mm-hmm. book that Paul wrote.
It's also my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cantwell, what is your number 3?
Well, my number 3 is sticking on that Christianity train. I'm going to go with Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell, the revised and updated edition. So the revised and updated edition came out in 2017. It was first published by Josh in 1972. If you don't know who they are, they're leading Christian apologists. And that book, it's literally Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It goes list by list, line by line, answering any questions or doubts that come up with Christianity. And it just defends Christianity's core truths, defends Jesus, who he was, Jesus' resurrection, the miracles of Jesus. It honestly just invites the readers to bring their questions and doubts. And it's great knowing that Christianity is a testable faith, and that Josh spent years and years upon his life answering those questions for you, and you can digest it in a 42-hour and 39-minute audiobook and not spend years and years of your life looking into it. So it definitely, I'd say it really helped me, because I know that I'm not sitting out there in all by myself, that it's Christianity is, it's great. I would say look into it.
Heck yeah. Sorry.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
No heck. Heaven yeah.
Heaven yeah. Oh gosh, I have a feeling, you know, that's a sticker or something. Ah, gosh.
Heaven yeah.
There's some crazy ones. You said it's like 40 hours, though. Is that your 1.5 speed or the human speed?
Oh, that was one point. I think I got up to like 1.65 to get through it. He literally goes line by line, answers every single question, and goes through it. And some of it, it's like the same, like archaeological proof or the same like basis of logic for answering this question. So it gets repetitive in certain parts, and so I did tune out for those ones where like, oh, I don't struggle with that. No, I definitely understand the archaeological aspect and evidence for it. So I'm not struggling there. But it's crazy how they've updated it to answer like this generation's this generation's questions regarding God and Christianity.
What did Jesus actually tweet? People are wondering, or X.
Well, I don't know.
I guess, well, last question I have is, how's the narrator? Because I feel like that's going to be made or broken, make or break by that narrator.
So the narrator is actually Sean McDowell. So that is Josh McDowell's son. And he's the one who really helped out with the updated and expanded version, going in and through and cleaning it up. Mm-hmm. And he's got he has a weekly podcast that he puts out called Think Biblically. It's produced by Biola. Very good. So you can preview his voice through his podcast. It's high pitch, but it's not like an annoying high pitch, but it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then if you don't want to sit there and spend 42 hours listening to it, he has a little small companion novel. It's just more a digestible format. It's only 2 hours. Rachel just listened to it in the car. And it only took like 2 trips to her parents' house and back, and she finished it. And it was really good.
It's just like the big points.
Yeah, it hits the big points. More than a carpenter. There you go. More than a carpenter. So if you want like the short little Spark Notes version, bada bing, bada boom, more than carpenter.
All right. Taking a very drastic turn from both you guys, I'll move on to my number two. Came out in 2000. It's a historical. I'd call it just. It's not fiction. It's a historical nonfiction. It's inspired me to write a short story and like kind of match up. Like it inspired me to kind of write more. So I felt like I want to get that out. I realize it's not gonna be for everyone, but they did end up making a movie about it. I think in the 2010s. It is In the Heart of the Sea: The Tragedy of the Whale Ship Essex by Scott Brick. And the blurb is, in 1820, the whaleship Essex was rammed and sunk by an angry sperm whale, leaving the desperate crew to drift for more than 90 days in 3 tiny boats. Nathaniel Philbrick uses little-known documents and vivid details about the Nantucket whaling tradition to reveal the chilling facts of this infamous maritime disaster. If you don't know, the sinking of the whaleship Essex is what inspired Moby Dick and everything, so it has a big sense in just even the literary term. But there's just such fascinating things. Like I talked about in Nantucket, like the people that are seasoned and all that, they'd go down to the docks, and you could tell by the way they whittled wood, like what position they were looking for. Like if they only cut out, they'd want something. If they only cut in, that'd be a different position. And then you could kind of like see who was, you know, green and like who has no experience because they just whittle with no rhyme or reason to it. And it's just like such a cool thing. And it's tragic in a way, like because you kind of just see how brutal and gory like the whaling industry was, and like how that is just destroyed like aquatic wildlife, and some things that were considered like okay back in the day that have changed, just in like an environmental sense. It's wild, and I think it's a very good look at what life was like back then. Have any of you guys seen the movie with Chris Hemsworth?
No, but it's star-studded for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, directed by Ron Howard.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you guys have it pulled up? Do you know what the IMDb was or Rotten Tomatoes?
It's not great. 42 on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. IMDb, and 69.
Nice.
Did not profit at the box office, unfortunately.
Yeah, I remember seeing trailers for it, but I feel like it kind of came out and few people saw it, but there is a lot of also disgusting stuff. There's like, you know, cannibalism and all that takes place with some of the crews, so just fair warning there. It does get into some pretty nasty topics, but I think it's really interesting. I'm like, man, what if I took like this story mixed it with like the Odyssey and made like a fantasy thing, and it's kind of, I just thought that was a fun exercise, like how I'd go about that.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yep. Lou, what is your number two?
My number two is a quirky little book that got written back in 1979. Ooh. It is called A Hitchhiker's Guide to Galaxy.
That was 1979?
1979. Wow. I didn't know that either.
I thought it was like 90s, the latest.
I thought so too. Yeah, I did not know because the movie came out fairly recently, early 2000s. So It's crazy that this book was written far back in the day.
Lou, I got some bad news for you. The early 2000s was 20 years ago.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Episode 3 is 20 years old now.
Yeah.
But go on, continue.
No, it's okay.
All right, that's an existential dread.
No, it's cool. Yeah. So I've been trying to push myself book-wise and not try to read kind of the same stuff that I read last year. And I think on this podcast, I've openly talked about how much I hate British media in whole.
It's true.
And and so I saw that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was free to download on Libby, and I was like, I'm going to try it. And my wife hated this book. She read it. She was like, this is the most pointless book I've ever read. It's only because it's very short that I finished it. And I was like, I'll give it a try. And it is very pointless, but I think it's just written well. I think it has all the whimsical of British literature should have. I think That's what Brits do best, is just be whimsical. I think of Harry Potter. I think of Great British Baking Show. I think of this book. And I think about, like, countries that were just absolute dictators or just bad countries that did bad things. After, like, a couple years, they just, you know, they just do whimsical things. They make Harry Potter. Japan did Hello Kitty. You know, I just think that's the direction that countries go if they do really heinous stuff.
When's Germany's turn? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that too soon?
Honestly, Germany. I was just thinking about that. Germany, you know, they're a quirky bunch of people.
Their inventions. I feel like they do theirs with inventions.
The Volkswagen Beetle.
That's, I mean, hey. It is. Hey, allergic to the Volkswagen Beetle. That's a pretty far. That's a couple skips. Hop skips away. From, mass murder.
This episode has just been banned in Germany. So.
Yeah, they don't listen. But yeah, it's the Earth gets destroyed, and the main character just has to figure himself out. And I really don't know what's going on, but I listen to the audiobook, and I clean, and I vibe with it. So that's me.
42.
There it is. I was about to say it.
Have you read it, Cantwell?
I've just seen the movie.
Very different. Like, it's
very different, I imagine.
The beginning is the same. You know, the dolphin musical number was great, at least when I watched it in middle school. But yeah, I read the book because like Lou said, it was short. I don't know how long it is, but I read it on like a car trip. I think we were going to Tennessee or Colorado or something with my mom, and I read it during the whole car trip. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay, I'm gonna have to add that to the list.
Are you going to read the sequels, Lou? Or are you just you good with maybe. This one?
I have so many books on my list to read, and I've like been that. Doing all the hard stuff first so that I can enjoy the stuff that I know I'm going to love. And so,
when it comes to books, it's hard, right? Not soft. Hard. Oh, that should have been one. Hardcover or soft cover? Hardcover.
There you go. I mean, hardcover for sure, but if you want to be cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Soft. I want it to tickle my ears as an audiobook.
Yeah, I still can't believe it came out in the 70s. What? Cantwell, what's your number two?
All right, my number two is actually a novella. Novella. Okay. It is Rita Hayworth and Shawshank Redemption by Stephen King. So that was first published within the collection of short stories called Different Seasons in 1982. The audiobook is only 3 hours and 59 minutes. It's a fictional realism / prison escape story. So with it, it's the basis for the movie Shawshank Redemption, which everybody knows and loves. One of the best movies, films that I can think of.
Movie.
It's a great movie. So it's told from the vantage point of Morgan Freeman. Red, an Irishman. In the book, it's an actual Irishman. It's not Morgan Freeman. About the life of Andy Dufresne and his story and eventual escape from the Shawshank State Penitentiary in Maine. With it, it's a great story of how Andy maintained hope and just resilience through all the events that he faced, the sisters and the prison guards getting thrown in the cell all by himself. And through it all, he stuck it to the man, and he found his freedom at the end. All thanks to Rita Hayworth, that poster.
How does it compare to the movie? Just it's
just as good as the movie. There are twists that the movie took that made for a better cinematic, ending to some of the story plots.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's been out for a while, so I feel comfortable with... Spoiler for Shawshank. So, in the movie, you know how Andy exposes the... hiding the money that the prison warden is doing and all this stuff, and the prison warden kills himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that story and how that story is resolved. In the book, that doesn't take place. The warden just moves on, and they get a new warden. So it's like, oh, okay. there's nothing with that. But
is Red released in the short story as well?
Yes, Red is released as well.
Is the beer scene still there?
The which one?
The beer scene? Where the
Yes, on top of the roof after tarring. Yes, the beer scene is there.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
And then teaching the school to one of the prisoners, helping them get their GEDs and such, you see that as well in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend the full collection of short stories. I just mainly recommend this novella because there's a strange, it's weird story in different seasons called The App Pupil, and that book is twisted and just dark. I don't recommend that at all.
What is it called?
But also, The App Pupil, that one is, that story is scary. So a kid finds that one of his neighbors is actually an escaped Nazi prison guard, and so he blackmails him, and they both just end up blackmailing each other to crazy depths. Ugh.
That's Michael's favorite Stephen King. No, I don't know. I doubt it.
Just tarnish his name when he's not on the podcast.
Exactly.
I just have to assume that's what you guys do when I'm not on the podcast. So, you know, I gotta dish it out just in case. No. Granted, I've only read one of Stephen King's books, and it's not considered the best, but how does it compare to his other writing? Because I didn't really like his... kind of the style he wrote in for the first Dark Tower book, which, again, I've heard is especially not the one to start off for Stephen King, but that's what I did. How's it compare to that?
It's completely different. Okay. You honestly wouldn't expect this to be a Stephen King novel other than it's set in Maine, which almost all his novels are. So that's a big giveaway, but it doesn't read. There's not like this sick, dark presence in it other than Andy Dufresne's just been wrongly convicted.
Mm-hmm.
You could honestly, he could slap a different name on the front of the book and you wouldn't even know it was Stephen King.
Mm-hmm. Lou, what's your favorite King book?
My favorite King book? I've only read two King books.
Okay.
And they're like one of the recent ones because I'm quirky and different.
there you go.
Yeah, I honestly, it got a lot of hate, but I really liked Fairy Tale.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good book.
I thought so. I had a good time with it. There are some slow parts of it, but the relationship that he created with the dog and the owner.
No, not the old man.
Just the dog. I mean, the, no, That's what I meant. The other person is what I meant. The old man. Yeah. I liked it. Yeah.
There you go. Well, there's one for free for you guys. An honorable mention for you.
There you go.
Number ones?
Number ones.
Make sure I don't skip anyone. So my number one came out in 2023. I know some of our toppers really love this guy. I think this is definitely a top three for my favorite books by him, if not my top one. I think he does the best on a pitch count, which is a hot take for him. But it is You, Me, and the Nightmare Painter by Brandon Sanderson. It's one of his secret projects, so it is a standalone novel, although it does fit in his wider Cosmere things. There are some light spoilers if you're going to go ahead and read all the Stormlight, but for the most part, you can read this and just be fine with it. It is Yumi has spent her entire life in strict obedience, granting her the power to summon the spirits that bestow vital aid upon her society, but she longs for even a single day as a normal person. Painter patrols the dark streets, dreaming of being a hero, a goal that has led to nothing but heartache and isolation, leaving him always on the outside looking in. In their own ways, both of them face the world alone. Suddenly flung together, Yumi and the painter must strive to right the wrongs in both their lives, reconciling their past and present while maintaining the precarious balance of each of their worlds. If they cannot unravel the mystery of what brought them together before it's too late, they risk forever losing not only the bond growing between them, but the very worlds they have always struggled to protect. So, Sanderson came out and basically said the inspiration for this was the animated movie Your Name. I don't know, Lou, have you seen it?
I've seen parts of it, I haven't finished it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. He's like, it's basically that and then like Final Fantasy X and Freaky Friday just like slapped together, which I guess Freaky Friday is part of Your Name too. Just kind of slapped together and intermixed into one book. I think it's fun. It's very quirky. It's meant to be. Jacob and Andrew's brother started reading it and he's like, yeah, this guy's kind of cringe, Painter. And it's like, no, that's he's going for that. Like that's part of it. And it's just very charming. It's only 14 hours and 40 minutes roughly. So it's not terrible, especially if you read it. I think I read it on like 1.2 speed. So you can definitely speed that up with the narrator. But it's just a fun, lighthearted, as Lou would say, quirky, as I think I've said like three times now, quirky standalone novel that I think is one of his best works.
Yeah, that's on the list to read this year, to listen to. That one in Tress of the Emerald Sea. That's mm-hmm. him too, right?
Yeah, that is. Another one of the secret projects.
Yeah.
Funded on Kickstarter.
It was. It was one of the biggest Kickstarters ever made. It was those projects. Have you read any Sanderson, Cantwell?
I don't believe I have. I'm going to try to look at some of his novels here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a thick boy.
Yeah, he has a... Like, basically my whole last year was just reading him, so... And I am a little bit burnt out on Sanderson, just because a whole year of reading the same author is a lot, but definitely, like, if you want standalones, there's a lot of his secret projects are good, and for the most part, you can read, like, his non-Mistborn or Stormlight books and kind of get what he's about without dedicating, you know, 60 hours to your life, which is just one Stormlight book, but, you know, hey.
What's the classic saying on the Stormlight series? I can't remember.
The what?
What's the classic saying on the Stormlight series? What is may the light follow you or something like that?
Light follow you.
No, there's not like a classic saying in the Stormlight series.
I mean, there's like, you know, Journey Before Destination that when I hear light, I think of Wheel of Time, but he also wrote last three books. It could be there and I'm just my brain's kind of fried.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I thought you read Tress, Lou. Or was I thinking someone else?
Christian read it. My wife read it. Yeah, but I have to read it.
Have read any of Sanderson's books then?
Me?
Yeah. You started Way of Kings, right?
I started Way of the Kings. I got like 10, 12 hours on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read it again. I talked to one of my friends... And who isn't like a really big book guy, but he did finish Way of the Kings, and he's like, "Yeah, I didn't really know what happened. I didn't really know what was happening until like the last part of the book, and then mm-hmm. things made sense to me." Yeah. It's like, okay, I'll try it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of you're just like thrown in there, and you kind of have to puzzle it out. But
yeah,
Arn, go ahead and let us know what phrase I'm missing down below. Lou, what is your number one?
My number one recently just came out, but I don't feel like a lot of people knew it came out. So I just wanted to put some shine on it. Written this year, like a couple days ago, Suzanne Collins, Sunrise of the Reaping, the latest Hunger Game book.
Ooh.
So yeah. So have you guys read the Baseline series?
I have not.
I've read the Baseline. Have not read the prequel stuff yet.
Okay. And so I have a lot of love for the prequels. I think I've shined a lot of light on the last movie. I think I talked about it in the podcast like four or five times. So I won't talk much more about it. But this last book, I'm about halfway done with it, so I haven't finished it yet. But I love it. I think it's a little like nothing new. I think when it comes to, I think it's just like, I don't even know, like how fast food's supposed to really taste and make you feel, you know, like you're not going to get a lot of substance out of it, but it's going to be good when you read it. Does that make sense? Am I getting anywhere with this?
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, what was I going to say? So yeah, I think character development, Haymitch was always one of my favorite characters back in the day. And so this is all based on him and his time in the Hunger Games. I think a big thing that always pops up to me, especially for these last two books and the prequels, is that it really shows a light on the fact that these kids are in a death match. And she really is like, hey, you know, this is not cool. And as a kid, when I read it back in like 2008, it didn't really occur to me that like these children, like I knew these children were killing each other, but I didn't know like the brutality of it all. I thought it was just cool to see Katniss with a bow. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
You know. And I think as an adult now reading these and seeing what the Capitol is really doing to the rest of the country, she's done a really good job with that part, really showing it's like, hey, this isn't cool. Like, you know, they're doing this for a reason. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
What's the term where you fictionalize something, like glorize it, even though it's not? Happens a lot with like war and everything. Drawing a blank.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, pretty much exactly that,
like,
though.
It,
yeah.
She helps you become disillusioned with it. Is like. Would you say that's like one of her best traits? Like, I've actually never read one of Susan Collins' books. So is that one of her best traits? And a lot of people also like the character. So how do you pitch her as an author to me? Like, I've never read one of her books.
I have to read after this, there's a good chance that I might read the first three again, just to go back. I think she does a really good job with, I don't know if this is going to answer your question, but I think she does a really good job with relationship character development and how certain relationships are connected to each other. Like, Haymitch gets put into the rink, right? And he gets pulled away from his family, but she does a really good job with saying like, just because Haymitch is going to potentially die, but his absence is going to affect his mom. Like, and she writes about like how he's not going to get water for her to be able to do her job. So there's a good chance that she'll lose his job. You know, like, just like the responsibility of characters' actions, because sometimes it feels like in movies and TV shows, characters will act any way that they want to, and there'll be no effect on the characters around them. But every action has a consequence, and I really enjoy that quite a bit.
Hey, which is Woody Harrelson, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
She's got great pacing as well throughout the novel. Except the ending with PETA and Gale.
Yeah. Even as a kid, I was like, this is weird.
Yeah. I feel him inside me. What?
What? Hold up. Pause.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd have to use this because Mike isn't here.
You know I'm a degenerate.
She's been married since, like, 91. So hopefully it's a happy marriage, but I don't know.
There you go.
Well, Cantwell, what is your number one book you'd recommend?
Dune by Frank Herbert. I would say that is a fantastic sci-fi novel. It's definitely one of the world's best-selling. That came out in 1965. The audiobook length is 21 hours and 2 minutes, or 14 hours if you read it at 1.5 speed. And that's the dramatic one where there's different voice actors and some ambiance music in the background.
I do believe it's a bridge, though. Gotta throw that out
there. I don't think that's a bridge. I think never mind.
I don't know.
Who knows? I'm going to have to do my research here. Okay. So with it, you get feudalism, you get messiah mystique, you get terraforming, you got drugs, you got over-extraction of natural resources.
Sold.
So it's literally a product of the 60s. It is literally a product of the 1960s. And I was just reading about it that Frank Herbert was he loved collecting psilocybin mushrooms. So he's a big psychedelic guy, and he wanted to write about drugs. So here's his novel about drugs and his novel about... exactly.
Combine the
two. I
think
it's hilarious. Yeah. My favorite thing about the book is just the... It's one of the best religious systems, like, made up that I've seen created in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And how the Bene Gesserit and their Missionaria Protectiva has, like, far-lasting reaches throughout the nation. So when Jessica and the Atreides family lands on the planet Dune, that she's able to recognize, oh, wait, somebody's been here, somebody's planted it within the Fremen. And so then now Paul can play into that messiah mystique. And then you got all the tension. You got the tension between the houses of trying to kill the Atreides family just because he's getting too strong. And
that
the Padishah Emperor doesn't...
Oh, I love that dinner scene. It's like some of the political stuff in books. Like the political nuance.
So good.
So good.
Mm-hmm. I love how they treat the smugglers because they realize, well, we're probably going to need them later. So we got to treat them well. And turn a blind eye to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the tension between the local Fremen. How many Fremen are actually there? Nobody knows.
And where's
Zendaya?
The
tension of... Oh, exactly. Where's Zendaya? And then tension with Paul of playing into the Messiah mystique? Or wait, am I actually the Messiah? What does this hold? Do I start this jihad? Do I not start this jihad? Oh, it's crazy.
And if you thought the movie was weird, if you thought part two was weird, it's even weirder in the books.
Yeah. So, is he the actual Khusad Sadarak? Is he the Lisan al Gaib?
Is that how you say it, the Khusad Sadarak?
That's what they say in the audiobook.
Okay.
Khusad Sadarak. I can't begin to spell it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hilarious. Going from audiobooks to looking at the pages, you're like, is that how that's spelled?
Yeah. It's okay. I read them physically, and I could not tell you how to spell any of that stuff. So.
Yeah.
Would you say Dune is your favorite out of... You've read all?
All of them.
All of them?
All of them. The main Frank Herbert series. I haven't read all the... Where his son went off and did the House of Atreides. Yeah, those stuff. But I've read all of them.
And Dune's your favorite, you'd say?
Yep, Dune's the favorite. And then it just all free falls.
where did you say?
Stop after Children of Dune.
There you go. You didn't like God Emperor?
Read it if you want to just hear how weird it is.
And
see the weird illustration on the front cover.
Yeah. I liked 2 and 4 were probably my favorite. So
that's
weird for God Emperor. But yeah.
Stop after that because it just gets weird.
That's what I've heard. Lou, have you seen the movies, right? Have you seen?
No, I've never seen
man.
The movies.
You're missing out.
Yeah, that's on the list of things.
The book's better.
It is, but you know, I think especially if you're you really like movies, I think Delanouve just made a masterpiece. It was like it felt like a very artistic, you know, piece of art, obviously. That's but I really enjoyed it. I'm interested to see where some of the deviations near the end, how they affect Dune Part 3, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You guys have any quick honorable mentions?
Yeah. I would say 11/22/63, another Stephen King novel. It's a time travel novel where an individual is faced with going back in time and seeing if he could save JFK. Because if you save JFK, the world should be better. And seeing how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually just turns into a love story. And I was like, whoa.
Him and JFK fall in love. Story. No one saw that.
Close.
Oh, whoa.
But that's another one where you're like, I wouldn't expect Stephen King to write something like this. But no, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
This is post-cocaine addiction, right?
I think, yes, post-cocaine. I think he tried to write it, and then there wasn't enough like research and details going on with it. And then he picked it up later and was like, okay, so there's all this background information where he can make it seem conceivable because you have all the theories. Was it a lone gunman? Did he act alone? Was there somebody on the grassy knoll?
Which, if you don't know, the president has declassified most of the information for JFK. So Windigoon does a great... You like 2-hour video of what was declassified. Very interesting stuff, but I'll let you guys go.
There you go.
Make your own decisions there.
What's hilarious, I've driven by the book depository. And I didn't realize it. So we were visiting the Dallas Museum of Art, and then we're just trying to find our way back to the highway. And so we're just driving, and I look up, and I was like, oh, that building looks so familiar. Why is the window open? Why is the window open? And then I look up and I said, why are there X marks on the ground?
I say, isn't there
What's
an X?
What's that hair doing there? Yeah. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, one of my history teachers in high school was obsessed with it. So we watched a lot of documentaries about possible conspiracies and everything.
Yep. What is the declassified stuff? Is it really just say it was a lone gunman?
It's still like there was probably something else, but it's still, you know. Not completely known, but yeah. What about you, Lou? You got any?
I got one that I really want to read that I haven't read yet. Like, what do you call it? Like the most anticipated book in my list of books to read.
What do you got for us?
Called The Name of the Wind. It's a very popular book.
Mm-hmm. Mike will. Mike really loves it. I think this is one of his favorite books.
Really? Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm really interested. I got it hardcover. I've been biting at the. What do you bite at when you're excited to see something? Biting at the teeth? The teeth? The
bit?
Biting
at the bit?
Chomping at the bit?
Chomping at the bit. There we go. It's like, it's not biting at the tit. It's gotta be... Sorry, it's super late for podcasting.
You're good. That one's a long one. I think it's like 30 right? plus hours. Audiobook. It's a good one. I did have a Christian one. I was a good Christian boy, but The Unseen Realm by Dr. Michael S. Heiser. It is very interesting going on, like, what would all the spiritual stuff in the Bible look like for, like, you know, antiquity Jews and Old Testament Jews? Like, how was that, and, you know, and how would they have translated what was being said and, like, how it differs from ours? And I just think it's a very interesting point. I don't know if... The truth behind all of them. I mean, there's only so much we can do with what information we have, but it's very interesting and interesting read. And lastly, I finished this book yesterday, Children of Hurin by my boy Tolkien. I got to get him in there, even though Lou knocks on him. But if you like tragedies up there with like a Shakespearean one or like Greek mythology, it's a fantastic book. It's very dark, but it is great, and it's written pretty differently than the other like Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit thing, so go check it out. It's fantastic. But other than that, Cantwell, thank you so much for joining us, especially kind of more last minute. Do you have anything you want to shout out? Books, people, projects, Golden Hurricanes? I don't know.
No, true that. Yeah. Goldie. We've done well in the transfer portal. Yep. Shout out to my wife, and shout out to baby coming soon, May 30th. Please give us name ideas in the comments.
Oh.
Because we still have no idea. It's a boy.
Megatron.
Top or Tom.
Call him Meg for
short. Top or Tom. First name Topper, middle name Tom.
Rusty.
Or hyphenate. Ooh, Rusty.
I like Rusty.
Makes me think of Rusty's from Cars.
We will, the comment with the most upvotes in a week's time after posting this, we'll get 5 top Topper points. So there we go. We haven't really used them this year. Throwing it out there, though. Give us some name ideas. Other than that, we'll find out what we're talking about next time. Thank you all for listening. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, go ahead and check the comments. Cantwell has been on there talking about Young Gravy and being a defender for all the Young Gravy slander that this podcast has put out. go check our YouTubes, give us all the regular like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff down below. We like to hear you guys' books you recommended, because we're, as Lou says, our book list is always expanding and we want to know more. We like to read on this podcast. Other than that, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you all next time. Peace.
I think you should name him Tater from the car. Tars. That's the Cars, right? Tater?
Yeah.
Tomater? It's Tomater, right?
Mater. Tomater.
That works.